Onam Gijaya Maturanam Gijaya Navadeepdam Gijaya Jagadatasami Gijaya Yamunamai Gijaya Shimari Talasi Devi Gijaya Samaveda walked over in the Gijaya Gaur Premananda Hariwam. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilpaupad Gijaya. Radhe, 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 Radhe. So, Om Gnat, Timinandasya, Gnanjana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, Meditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shigurave, Namaha. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhana, Sujay, Devi, Anpanamami, Hari, Priye, Jai, Shimati Radharani, Ki Jai. So, so we'll speak a little bit about, first of all, who Srimati Radharani is, and then we'll tell this very nice story from the Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. So first of all, we do not find Srimati Radharani's name mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam at all, and that's a very interesting mystery. The reason being that Shukadeva Goswami, who is the speaker, the primary speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to Maharaj Pariksit, was a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. And in fact, sometimes it's described he's called Shuka or Shukadeva because he was Radharani's parrot. So he loved Radharani so much that if he had mentioned her name, he would have swooned in ecstasy. Any of you who've studied the works, the works of the Goswamis, know that there's something called Vyabhachari Bhavas, which means intermittent, uncontrolled ecstasies that devotees experience. And there's 33 of them. And one of them is becoming unconscious like death. So that means, just like we were chanting every morning, Mahaprabho Kirtana Nricha Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manaso Rasena, when a pure devotee hears the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what does he do? Tears come from the eyes like torrents of rain, Ashrutaranga Bhajo, and he feels quivering in his body. And so, when a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani hears her name, he cannot continue any long the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami deliberately... Yeah, can turn off the mobile phones, please. Please, por favor. So, Shukadeva Goswami deliberately did not mention the name directly of Srimati Radharani, although we talked about her in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because he wouldn't have been able to continue the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and poor Maharaj Pariksit would not have heard the end of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, out of compassion for Maharaj Pariksit, he didn't mention Srimati Radharani. So, Srimati Radharani's essence is in serving Krishna. And the perfect way to illustrate this is by this telling the story that you're all familiar with about Krishna's headache. Krishna once upon a time had a headache. And then we understand Krishna has a transcendental body. He doesn't get headaches like you and me. So anyway, so he made believe he had a headache. And the idea was the only thing that could cure that headache was the dust of the feet of his devotee. And so Narada Muni went around asking different devotees, who will give me the dust of their feet? I know that. So we went to various devotees, and the various devotees said, no way, because this way we will go to hell. But then eventually he approached Srimati Radharani and the gopis, and he said to them, do you want to do that? And they said, of course. And he was shocked. He said, aren't you afraid of not going to hell? Or of going to hell? And they said, we don't care. We can go to hell. It doesn't matter as long as Krishna's headache is cured. So that's the position of Srimati Radharani. Simply desires to please Krishna. Of course, she pleased Krishna. She pleases Krishna in ways that are very unusual. We were talking this morning about how there are the different indirect rasas, like anger, or adbhuta shock, or compassion. So sometimes she pleases Krishna with anger. Did you know that? Because most of us think, how can you please someone by getting angry with them? But Krishna enjoys this very much. Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes the husband will tease the wife a little bit, just to get her a little bit angry. And he enjoys this. Of course, this is all mundane. Because the mundane things are perverted reflections of the spiritual reality. So Krishna enjoys all these different varieties that we experience in this world. And with him and Srimati Radharani and his associates in the spiritual world, they're always pure and pristine and spiritual. And here in this material world, they lead to misery ultimately. So Krishna enjoys the man, or the anger of Srimati Radharani. In fact, there's even a place called Manasarovara where Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And of course, there's a famous story of one great acharya. His name was Jayadev Goswami. And Jayadev Goswami was about ready to write that particular passage where it says that Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. But he thought, this is crazy. How can I write that? So he went to take a bath. And in the meantime, Krishna came and he took the form of Jayadev Goswami. And he continued writing that passage, and he wrote, Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet and begs for forgiveness. And so Jayadev Goswami came, and also Krishna took prasadam at the hands of Jayadev Goswami's wife, Padmavati. So then Jayadev Goswami came back from his bath, and he said to his wife, where is prasadam? And she said, you already took. And he said, what do you mean? Are you crazy? And she said, no. You took, you finished, and you continue writing your book. And he went down to his desk, he looked, and he saw that that particular shloka was written, that Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And then he understood that Krishna personally wrote that. Because Krishna enjoys Radharani's anger mood, he enjoys apologizing to Srimati Radharani, and incidentally, Krishna is controlled by Srimati Radharani. That's one of the qualities of Srimati Radharani. She always keeps Krishna under her control, or as they say in English, wrapped around her little finger. You've heard that expression before? So, of course, all the ladies would like to do that with their husbands or boyfriends or whatever, but it doesn't work. So, but she's able to control Krishna. Therefore, we approach Krishna through Srimati Radharani, because if we can please her, it doesn't matter what Krishna wants. He has to give us his mercy. It doesn't matter. Krishna can say, I don't want that rascal. And Srimati Radharani says, you've got to give your mercy to that rascal. And so, that's our business. And of course, we approach Srimati Radharani by approaching her through her devotee. As we hear, you know, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamala Dasa 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 Anudasa. We're servant of a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis of Vrindavan. So in other words, by serving the devotees, by serving all the devotees. Now, sometimes people think they just serve the spiritual master. But actually, by serving all the Vaishnavas, Mahatseva, Mahuravi, Muktes, you get Krishna consciousness. That's the secret of advancement in devotional service. It's like that devotee, Kalidas. Kalidas was a devotee of Sridhar Mayapur. And he made it his business to serve and take the prasadam remnants of every single devotee in Sridhar Mayapur, even though most of the devotees there, or many of the devotees there, were from a lower caste. Now, generally, those of you from India or India extraction or from Fiji or whatever, know that this caste consciousness is very important in India. So to have someone who was a Brahmin take a Shudra's or Malecha's remnants is unheard of. Actually, you lose your caste if you do that. So he would go, and in certain cases, like in the case of another devotee, Jadu Thakur, who was from a lower caste, he gave him a mango, him and his wife, mango, and this Jadu Thakur and his wife ate the mango and sucked on the skin and spit out the pit and threw it in the garbage, and this Kalidas, he went and he took the remnants and he sucked on the skin some more. There was a little mango left, and he sucked on the seed. And because of that faith and service to the other Vaishnavas, he got something that no other devotee ever got voluntarily from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got a chance to drink Lord Chaitanya's foot bathing water. When Lord Chaitanya was entering the temple in Jagannath Puri, and he bathed his feet at the Singhadwara gate, Kalidas was able to put his hands under Lord Chaitanya's feet and drink the water. And Lord Chaitanya let him do it once or twice. After that, he stopped him, of course. But he said, Krishna has fulfilled your desire. So we can take a hint from that particular story that if we serve the other Vaishnavas, we please Srila Prabhupada, please our spiritual master, all the Vaishnavas we serve. And then we get Srimati Radharani's mercy. Because all the devotees work under Srimati Radharani. So this is the ontological position of Srimati Radharani. Now, we're going to talk about her appearance and who she is in relationship to the pastimes in Dwarka too. Not only the pastimes in Vrindavan. So here's the story from Lalita Madhava in a nutshell. It's a very long drama written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote two famous dramas, Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. Vidagdha Madhava deals primarily with the pastimes of Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava deals with the pastimes of Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan, and also outside as Radharani expands as Satyabhama, and as Chandravali expands as Rukmini. So it's a very interesting literature. If any of you are interested in hearing this literature, if you want ISKCON Desire Tree, go to my name in the audio things. I have a whole narration of this. Every single shloka of it. It's a very beautiful poem. So here's a story. Once upon a time, there were two mountains. That's an interesting way to start a story about Srimati Radharani. What does a mountain have to do with Srimati Radharani? Anyway, there were two mountains. There was the Himalayas. And then there were Vindhya Mountains. And so the Himalayas, they're much bigger than the Vindhyas, so the Vindhyas got envious of the Himalayas. And the Vindhyas started to grow. And they were growing so high that they called for a sage, Agastya Muni, to cut them down to size. So Agastya Muni was heading to the south, and he said to the Vindhyas, please offer your obeisances, and don't get up until I come back. So he never came back. So the Vindhyas remained small, but they were always envious of... Excuse me, I have this little flu. They were always envious of the Himalayas. So, and also they were envious of the Himalayas because the Himalayas gave birth to a very wonderful girl. Who is that girl? Does anyone know? Parvati. That means the daughter of the Himalayas, who was Lord Shiva's wife. So, therefore, the Vindhyas really want to have a better daughter. So, and the Vindhyas also tried to defeat Mount Meru. So they were, I guess, a little envious mountain, as the case goes. So what happened is the Vindhyas wanted to have a better daughter than the Himalayas. So they prayed like that. And what happened is that originally, Srimati Radharani and Chandravali appeared from the womb of Kirtida, and Chandrabhanu, who is Chandravali's mother. Oh, I'm sorry, Chandrabhanu, Chandravali's father. So they appeared, but they were transferred to the womb of the wife of the Vindhya Mountains. Because all these mountains and different aspects of the Vedic culture have personalities, they're persons. So they were transferred like that. And then there was this person called Putana, who you're all familiar with. Putana was the Adiasura, the original demon who Krishna killed. So Putana was ordered by Kamsa not only to kill all the children that were just born in Vrindavan, but she was ordered by Kamsa to kidnap all the girls. So she ended up kidnapping Radharani and Chandravali, who later on became known as Rukmini, his whole story. And the reason that she was told to do this by Kamsa is that Kamsa was told about this by Yogamaya, who had previously appeared in Devaki's womb, or previously been transferred from Vrindavan, and Kamsa tried to kill her. So anyway, so what happened at that particular point was that Vinja's priest chanted demon-killing mantras, and Putana became very, very weak. And the girls, one girl fell in the river, and that river was, that girl was found by Bhishmaka, who is the father of Rukmini. So he took her there. So that's how Rukmini was born. And then Radharani was also put there too, and then she was later appeared in Vrishabhanu's house. So that's about the birth of Srimati Radharani that was told by Srila Rupa Goswami and Lalita Madhava. Of course, when Radharani was born, she was born blind. Many people question this. Why was Srimati Radharani born blind? But when she was in the spiritual world with Krishna, she objected to the whole idea of coming to the material world because she didn't want to see any of us. Because, you know, basically all of us are rascals. And if you're in the spiritual world with Krishna, with all of your eternal associates, you really don't want to see any materialistic person, right? In fact, in the Vedic literatures, it mentions that if you see a materialistic person, you're supposed to immediately run to the Ganges without changing your clothes and jump in. So that injunction we find very hard to follow. Because if we're here in Sydney, I don't know how you would follow that. You'd probably have to carry a spray bottle of Ganges water with you at every minute and just keep spraying yourself, you know, every time you looked, opened your eyes and saw something. But anyway, Radharani didn't want to come down to the material world. So she said, I'm not going there. Then Krishna said, well, you don't have to see anyone until you see me, Krishna. And so she was born deaf and dumb, not speaking, and blind. So eventually, when it came time for her name-giving ceremony, Narada Muni was there, she got a chance, because Krishna crawled into her room, she got a chance to smell the scent of Krishna. And she opened her eyes, and the first person she saw was Krishna. So, anyway, so that's Radharani's childhood. So, Radharani later on was discovered, after Putana dropped her, by Yashoda's nurse, actually by Radharani's grandmother, who was known as Mukura, and Lalita, Padma, Bhadra, Saibhya, Shama were found floating in the Jamuna River. And so each one of these different gopis is the original form of which a queen in Dwarka is a expansion. It's interesting, mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that all of Krishna's eternal associates in the various realms are expansions of Krishna's associates in Vrindavan. For example, Sriram, who incidentally is Radharani's brother, expands as Garuda in the Vaikuntha worlds. So each and every one of these personalities expands. And personalities like Narada Muni appear the same everywhere in all the different Vaikuntha and spiritual planets. This is the great mystery. So a pure devotee can be in many, many different places at once. Just like Krishna is in many, many places at once, actually, in everybody's heart, in every atom. So a pure devotee can be in many places serving Krishna. So, what happened is that Kamsa eventually understood that Radharani had been, hadn't been killed, and Putana had allowed her to be in Vrindavan, and Putana was killed by Krishna. So he was very upset, but he also became very lusty, as demons are. And Kamsa was thinking, I want to have Radharani. Very hellish. It's like, of course, in the Ramayana, you have Ravana who wants to have Sita Devi. And you know, as Prabhupada said, that when someone wants to have Sita or Lakshmi, without Narayan, or without Ram, they get Maya Lakshmi. Maya Lakshmi means they get Durga, they get problems. So our business is to bring Lakshmi back to Narayan, or give Lakshmi to Narayan, or serve Narayan and Lakshmi together. That's why we have here Radha Gopinath. We don't have just Radharani on the altar, and we don't have just Gopinath. In fact, Krishna is never alone, as Srila Prabhupada says. Krishna is always there with his associate, and Radharani is never without Krishna. So it's Radha Krishna, Lakshmi, Narayan, Sita Ram, even we have Lakshmi Nrsimhadev. All the incarnations of the Lord have their consort. So therefore, Kamsa became very envious, and he wanted to kidnap Srimati Radharani. So he was thinking, I don't want to try it myself, because it got quite dangerous sending all these other demons to Vrindavan. You know, frankly, every demon he sent got killed by Krishna. Either killed or sent back to the spiritual world like Putana. He didn't know Putana was in the spiritual world, but still, he was thinking, oh, incidentally, about Putana. Putana is a very interesting personality, because in her previous life, she was who? Does anyone know? You know the story. She was Sarpanaka. I know, I'm sorry, Bali Maharaj's sister. I got the story wrong. Bali Maharaj's sister who wanted to kill Lord Vamanadeva, and instead, and she also had fallen in love with Lord Vamanadeva, wanting to be his mother. And then, instead, she took birth as Putana and got a chance to try to kill Krishna, and then became Krishna's eternal mother in the spiritual world. So Kamsa was thinking, I want to kidnap her, so I'll send one of my associates. So he had this interesting associate. His name was Shankachuda. And Shankachuda was previously one of Kuvera's associates, but he had stolen from Kuvera. Kuvera, of course, is the treasurer of the demigods. So he has a lot of money. But many of his associates, they either steal from him or become bewildered, just like even his sons, Manigriva and Nalaguvera, became completely bewildered by that wealth. So he sent Shankachuda to try to kidnap Srimati Radharani. And so Srimati Radharani and Krishna happened to be in that area. The reason they were in that area was that they were trying to worship Suryadev. And actually, Krishna and his friend Madhu Mangal, they dressed up in disguise so they couldn't be discovered by Srimati Radharani's so-called mother-in-law or sister-in-law, Jatila or Kutila. So they dressed up as brahmanas who were performing the Surya Yajna. And so Madhu Mangal, of course, was a very greedy brahman. So they finished this whole performance of the Surya Yajna, and Madhu Mangal, he said, can I please have some, what? Ladus. That's all he wanted as payment. He was a very easy Brahmin to please. So they gave Madhu Mangal the ladus. And Krishna said that actually I have some more mantras to chant. So let me take Radharani and chant some more mantras for her. And Jutila and Gutila didn't know it was actually Krishna. And so Krishna started to chant mantras, which Madhu Mangal said, these mantras are from Kamadev's book of amorous pastimes. There's a Sanskrit verse that indicates that. Very, very interesting. So what happened is that Radharani was seated on a throne. This is called the Ratna Singhasana area. And right near Govardhan, right in the center of Govardhan. I'm sure some of you might have been there. Very isolated area of Govardhan. And what happened is that Krishna approached Radharani, but then Mukura, who is Radharani's grandmother, came, and Krishna ran away out of fear. And because Krishna ran away out of fear, the Shankachuda came and kidnapped Radharani. Of course, he didn't actually touch Radharani. Just like in the case of Sita Devi being kidnapped, or so-called kidnapped by Ravana, it was Maya Sita who was kidnapped by Ravana. Because had the real Sita been kidnapped by Ravana, Ravana would have died immediately. He could not have even gotten close to the real Sita. So Radharani manifested sort of an expansion so that Shankachuda should so-called kidnap her. So then Krishna came and killed the Shankachuda, and he took the jewel from the head of Shankachuda, which is in the shape of a conch shell, and he gave it to Balaram. And Balaram gave the jewel to Srimati Radharani. And so then Radha and Krishna were together, and that was very nice for some time. But then this person who is extremely cruel came to take Krishna away from Vrindavan. Who was that person? Akrura, which means not cruel. Actually, this person was cursed by the gopis. So he came to take Krishna, and Balaram away from Vrindavan. And when Krishna and Balaram left Vrindavan, the Manasi Ganga dried up, and the Govardhan Hill started shrinking. Some people think that Govardhan Hill is shrinking because he was cursed by the sage. But actually, he's shrinking out of separation from Radha and Krishna. And it's described at the end of the golden age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govardhan will disappear completely. And those of you who've gone to Govardhan have seen that he's half disappeared right now. After you leave the city of Govardhan, then Govardhan's completely under the ground after a little while after that. So in a few thousand years, that's why you better go back to Godhead pretty soon. Because you don't have much time left. I remember when I first walked into Hare Krishna movement, they told me I had to join immediately, or else Kali Yuga was coming immediately, and I was going to be as short as a dwarf, living underground and eating human flesh. I ran away when I heard that. It took me two more years to come back in Prabhupada's association. Anyway, but it is a fact. Kali Yuga is progressing, as we can see, anyone who reads the news. And Govardhan is shrinking. And the Jamuna, at this point, Jamuna doesn't even come to Vrindavan. Because the Jamuna water is stopped before it reaches Vrindavan. And what you're seeing in the Jamuna River bed is actually the sewerage from Delhi. Did you know that? So this is predicted, that this will happen as Kali Yuga progresses. Anyway, Akura came, took Krishna away, Manasi Ganga dried up, Jamuna started to dry up, and Govardhan was shrinking. And so Radharani became so upset, feeling the separation. Remember, this is the Lalita Madhava. It's a little bit different story than you hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this story illustrates the bhavas of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes the stories are told in such a way that the emotions and the what we call the ontological position, the identity of the personalities is illustrated. So this story helps us understand this. So Radha and Radharani and Vishakha drown themselves in the Jamuna. And the Jamuna, you know, is the daughter of who? Does anyone know?
Yamaraj.
Sun god. Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the sister of the Jamuna. So if you want to be freed from the Yamaraj, then you go bathing in the Jamuna. So anyway, so then the sun god came and took them away. That's Radharani and Vishakha. And so at the same time, Lalita jumped from Govardhan Hill and left this world in that way. And Rukmini, who was Chandravali, or Chandravala, that's how you pronounce it, was taken back by King Bhishmaka to Vidarbha. Okay, everyone's following that so far? Very interesting. Then, 16,100 gopis were kidnapped by Bulbasaur. It's a little bit different than the story you hear normally, but this is Rupa Goswami telling this story. Okay, then Krishna arrives in Dwarka. And he's also married Rukmini. Rukmini is his first wife. And she, of course, is Chandravali, or an expansion of Chandravali. Now, let's talk a little bit about Radharani's position versus or vis-a-vis Chandravali's position. Krishna has right-handed wives and right-handed girlfriends and left-handed wives and left-handed girlfriends. That doesn't mean they write with their left hand or they write with their right hand. Because the right-handed wives and right-handed girlfriends, they're submissive. They never talk back to Krishna. Even if they get disturbed, they remain quiet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And left-handed, like Srimati Radharani, and also Satya Bhama, that actually means left, they talk back to Krishna. They argue with Krishna. So you may say, From a materialistic viewpoint, let's say if you're looking for a wife or a girlfriend, you'd want someone who's submissive, right? The men are thinking, I want someone who's submissive. Of course, they discover later on it doesn't work like that. But so anyway, so they're thinking like that. But actually, Krishna is thinking the opposite. He enjoys more as they say in India, garam masala. Those of you who are not from India, I'll explain what that means. That means hot spices, hot mixture of spices. Because if any of you are eating, and you're all eating from time to time, you don't like just boiled vegetables. You like to put spices in. You like chilies, right? You love chilies. And you put salt and everything like that. But if I just boil some broccoli, you'll say, forget it. Like Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was given boiled food, he said, let this starvation committee go to hell. Even though it was better for his health, he said, let the starvation committee go to hell. So therefore, Krishna very much likes the unsubmissive behavior of his girlfriends and the unsubmissive wives, because it spices up the relationship much more. So that's why one aspect of Srimati Radharani is she talks back to Krishna. But every time she talks back, it's not out of selfishness like in this material world when people talk back. It's to please Krishna, because Krishna wants to make her angry. Like sometimes Krishna in Vrindavan is with Srimati Radharani, and just to make her angry, he says to her, your face is like many moons. Now the word for many moons is Chandravali, who happens to be Srimati Radharani's so-called competitor, who was actually an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So it's like a man saying to his wife, your face is like my previous girlfriend. Can you imagine? You know, for you Westerners, you know, oh, your face is just like Julie. But my name is Susie. Anyway. So Krishna says that to Srimati Radharani just to get her angry. And so what happens is she just runs off really angry, Mana. And just one story. This is not part of the Lalita Madhava, but it just came to mind. She runs off into the temple of Gauri. This is the famous Gaurikund story told by the Acharyas. She runs away from Krishna and says, I don't want to see him anymore. Lalita, you stand there with a stick and beat that blackish boy if he ever comes near. So Lalita is standing there and the other gopis are standing there because Lalita is hot-tempered. And they're all trying to serve Radharani. And Krishna can't go near. But Krishna has a different plan. So he dresses up as a girl, but in this particular case, he dresses up as a girl and uses all the deity's jewelry. It's like if one of the ladies took Radha Gopinath's jewelry and put it on themselves. So in this case, he took the goddess Gauri or goddess Durga's jewelry and put it on himself. And so he went into the Gauri temple, and there was Radharani, and then he was introduced to Radharani because he wanted to get close to Radharani as just a beautiful forest girl. So she said, oh, how do you do? And she embraced him, and she was very happy. She gave up her man, she gave up her anger. But then who happens to walk into the room but Radharani's so-called mother-in-law and sister-in-law and so-called husband. And so Radharani faints. You know, this she's caught with Krishna. The worst possible scenario you can imagine. She's caught with Krishna, so she faints, but she faints in such a way, like straight out like this. And they think that she's offering dandavats to Gauri. Because Krishna is dressed as the goddess Gauri. So they're thinking, wow. There's no problem with her. She's just offering, please accept my humble obeisances, Gauri. And then, but she's unconscious. She doesn't realize that that's what they're thinking. But Krishna immediately understands. And then as the goddess Gauri, he starts speaking. And he says to Radharani's so-called mother-in-law and so-called husband, that Abhimanyu is Radharani's so-called husband, that he is going to die very soon. Kamsa is going to kill him because he is offended, and you've all have offended Srimati Radharani, doubting her chastity. And so they all start shaking, and Krishna keeps threatening as the goddess Gauri, he's going to die. And they go, oh no, no. Please, please, forgive us. And Krishna says, as the goddess, he says, no, we don't forgive you. I'll never forgive you, like that. And then finally, Radharani understands what's happening. And she's still offering obeisance and says, please forgive my husband. Please. And the goddess Gauri, who is actually Krishna, says, yes, because you are praying for your husband as long as he never feels that you're unchaste again, never has any suspicion. Therefore, one more chance, I forgive him. And so they're all thankful, and they all walk out, and Radha and Krishna are together. Anyway, so Krishna getting Radharani angry has a lot of purposes to it. You know, he really enjoys this. So let's get back to Dwarka. It's hard to get to Vrindavan when you're in, to Dwarka when you're in Vrindavan. So anyway, in Dwarka, Krishna is watching a play. And this play is about his Vrindavan pastimes. And he's just watching these Vrindavan pastimes, and he's attracted to the players, thinking the players are actually the people from Vrindavan. So in Dwarka, of course, Krishna is married Rukmini. But when he got married to Rukmini, he promised Rukmini's father and Rukmini that he wouldn't marry anyone else unless he got permission from Rukmini to marry someone else. He wasn't like Lord Ramchandra, who had taken a vow, you know, Ekapatni Vrata. He just said, I won't get married. But Krishna has very tricky ways to get permission from people. I mean, another story of how Krishna got permission from someone is that there was this one demon named Bhomasura who was actually Krishna's son. And Krishna was supposed to kill him. And Krishna had him as a son because when Krishna appeared as Lord Varaha, he touched the earth planet with his tusks. And Bhumi, the earth, gave birth to Bhoma, who became Bhomasura. So he told Bhumi, promise Bhumi, I will not kill your son or our son without your permission. And so he waited until he had with him an expansion of Bhumi, who was Satyabhama at that particular point. And she gave him permission. She said, kill him, kill him. And he killed him. So Krishna always gets what he wants, even if he has to do some tricks. So he promised Rukmini, I will not marry anyone else without your permission. And Krishna built this beautiful city, and Rukmini was the only princess. So then once upon a time, there was this whole Shaimantaka jewel story. And there was this person, Satrajit, who had the Shaimantaka jewel. I'm not going to tell the whole story because it's a long story. Uh-oh, we have very little time. We only have to 7, right? Oh my God. So Satrajit had the Shaimantaka jewel. He didn't want to share it with anyone. And Satrajit also had a daughter, and her name was Satyabhama. And that Satyabhama was an expansion of Radharani that had been given to him by the sun god when he got the jewel. So that's how Satyabhama came about as the daughter of Satrajit. So then there's the whole story of Satyajit's brother Satyadanva getting killed and Krishna getting accused of having something to do with killing and stealing the Shaimantaka jewel. And eventually Krishna retrieves the Shaimantaka jewel, and not only does he get Satyabhama at that time, but he also gets Jambavati, because Jambavati is Jambavan's daughter, and actually Jambavan wanted her to marry Lord Ram many eons ago, but you know, Lord Ram can only take one wife, and so she had to wait a long time, but still she wasn't an old lady when she married Krishna. So anyway, but still Krishna had promised Rukmini he wouldn't marry anyone else without her permission. So he was in a little bit of a fix there. That he couldn't marry these two girls. So to make a long story short, and I'm going to skip over part of this, is that they put Satyabhama in New Vrindavan. Now, this is not the New Vrindavan in the United States that you read about. There's a New Vrindavan, or what's called Nava Vrindavan, that's close to Dwarka, that Vishwakarma constructed. If any of you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know what I'm talking about. So there's Nava Vrindavan. So they put Satyabhama there, and she was kept hidden there. And even Krishna didn't know that she was there. No, they just wanted to keep her away from Krishna because Krishna couldn't marry her. So once upon a time, Satyabhama was in this Nava Vrindavan forest, and she saw this deity of Krishna there in the Nava Vrindavan forest, and it was like an emerald deity. So this Satyabhama, she started to decorate the deity. She put nice jewelry on the deity and everything like that. And then she heard people coming. So she ran away into the bushes, and it was Krishna. And Krishna saw this deity of himself, and he thought, who's decorated so nicely? So then he took the deity, took the jewelry off the deity, put it on himself, and put the deity in the bushes. And then he stood there as if he were the deity. And then Satyabhama, who was Radharani, came out and saw who she thought was the deity, but was actually Krishna. And she kept decorating him, and she touched the deity and said, boy, this Vishwakarma has done a good job. And then Radharani thought that she, or Satyabhama, because they're the same person, was thinking that Krishna was thinking that Radharani was a deity too, constructed by Vishwakarma. And they were both thinking, boy, this Vishwakarma, he's pretty good. So eventually they understood that they were the real thing, you know, that it was really Satyabhama and really Krishna. And so they began to have pastimes without the knowledge of Rukmini in Nava Vrindavan. Poor Rukmini. This is a replica of the Vrindavan pastimes also. So there's also another person in this Nava Vrindavan called Nava Vrinda, who is the Vrinda who appeared in this Nava Vrindavan. And so Rukmini began to suspect several things happening, because she thought, this is, something's happening with my husband. So one particular point, she changed clothes with Satyabhama. And because they looked very similar, Krishna started addressing Rukmini as Satyabhama. And Rukmini got very angry and tried to separate them even more. And then Krishna at one particular point told Rukmini he was going to visit someone else, and he went to sneak away with Satyabhama. So this sneaking back and forth even happened in Dwarka. Even the pastimes that we hear about in Vrindavan, where Krishna and Radharani, Kunjabihari, isn't it? Radha Madhava Kunjabihari, was happening in Dwarka with Radha Madhava, with Krishna and the expansion of Krishna. Of course, we understand Krishna never leaves Vrindavan in one sense. Radharani never leaves Vrindavan, but they expanded and they had these similar pastimes in Dwarka. So, then what happened is that Krishna and Satyabhama one time went into a cave. This is a famous story in the Rita Madhava. They went into a cave and they were looking at pictures of their pastimes in Vrindavan. There were carvings on the side of the cave. And so Radharani and Krishna were looking, and then Krishna pointed out one particular pastime, which was the pastime of Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes. And in this particular picture, all the gopis were naked. And Krishna points to Radharani's picture and says, who's that girl? And Radharani gets angry and says, you know who that is. And so they keep looking at different pictures. Finally, they see one picture they both hate, and that's the picture of Krishna being taken out of Vrindavan by Krura. So in this way, different things happen in this particular Nava Vrindavan forest. Eventually, Rukmini gets so upset that she wants to send Satyabhama completely away. And Satyabhama, who is Radharani, gets so upset with this, she thought, I lost Krishna in Vrindavan, and now I will lose him in Dwarka too. So she decides to commit suicide. So she runs into the so-called Kaliya Lake, which is an imitation of the Kaliya Lake in Vrindavan, to drown herself and to actually be bitten by the snakes in the Kaliya Lake. And so she jumps in there. Krishna hears what she's doing, and he runs in the Kaliya Lake, grabs her, and she thinks that his arms are snakes that are biting her. And she's wondering what happens. And then finally, to make a long story short, Rukmini understands that Satyabhama is Radharani, her sister, from Vrindavan, and they make friends, and she gives permission for Krishna to marry Satyabhama. It's quite a long story. I just eliminated a lot because of the time factor. We only have about one more minute before the aarti. But by studying these books of the Goswamis, one can actually understand the bhavas, the moods of these different great personalities. Of course, you could never understand Srimati Radharani completely or Krishna completely. These personalities, I mean, anyway, Krishna's God, Radharani's the Adi Shakti, are inconceivable, achincha. But we should try to enter into the Vrindavan mood. See, the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help us come to the point of being qualified to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan so we can understand Radha and Krishna. There's this whole hierarchy given. The first, you approach the spiritual master who is Lord Nityananda Balaram, and that to become free of material desires, you approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform, and then finally, you get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's permission to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. That is our process. So, I think we have to end here. Do we have time for questions, or is this...
Yeah.
We go 5 minutes more. I got permission. So, any questions or comments about any of the points I made? If anyone's interested in hearing the whole Lalita Madhava, the narration's available on iskondesiretree.com. Questions, comments, problems? And actually, if we want to serve Srimati Radharani, as we said in the beginning of class, we serve Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's servants. And as far as Srila Prabhupada is concerned, his instruction to us is the best service we can do is to preach this Krishna consciousness movement and share this Krishna consciousness movement with others and devote ourselves to Srila Prabhupada's service. Prabhupada said that we can realize Shri Radha Krishna by engaging in Sankirtan. Prabhupada said the Sankirtan book distribution, preaching of Krishna consciousness is in the mood of the gopis. So if you want to understand the gopis, you just don't sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That's not our method in Kali Yuga. Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangar Mangala Mangasam Mahatama Bikaravya Vijakantika Nishkatam. That in this age of Kali, the method of coming to this platform, of understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, is to engage in this Sankirtan movement. So, if there's no questions, I guess we should end now and have our tea. Thank you very much. All glory is to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani's glorious appearance day, ki jai. Radhe, 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 Radhe.